Welcome in, latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Breton. Go by SEC Mike, but not today, Shade. I'm Hugh Freeze, Believer Mike, and there's Cousin Shane, everybody's favorite cousin, but today he's War Damn Shane. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, it's the best time of the year, Shane. It's time to preview them Auburn Tigers. What do you know about it?
Oh, man, I'll tell you what I know about it. I went golfing today thinking about it. I was like, you know, what would Hugh do? He'd go out here golfing, let the recruiting work itself out, you know? But, no, seriously, I you know me, Mike. Been high on Auburn, been talking Auburn this entire time. I'm kind of glad we're finally getting around to it because maybe after the show, the cousins could see the light that I've been trying to show them.
Well, I know Lane Kiffin sees it. Great job, Coach Gabe's old fire. Trolling old Hugh Freeze. Hugh Freeze getting it. I think that's the only championship Hugh Freeze has ever won. He's holding some kind of Ryder Cup. Yeah, so there you go. I mean, that's Auburn football right now, isn't it?
It's May 19th, let's be fair. There's a timestamp for a reason. I would imagine that either A, Hugh Freeze is not golfing as much, or B, he's not logging his results. You know, right. If it were me, I would just go off the grid. I would say, hey, I'm not golfing anymore. Set your tee time a little bit early and nobody knows you're there.
Okay. Yeah. No, I 100% agree with that, Shane. And that'll be the last time I troll.
on this episode
because we got a fun show, Shade. We're going to talk about the Auburn Tigers. Let's jump into it. 5-7 last year. I don't even want to spend much time thinking about this. 2-6 in the conference. But hey, we got some momentum late. Beat A&M. Really whooped Kentucky's ass on the road, no less. Thanks to Jarquez Hunter, had about 6,000 rushing yards in that game. So yeah, it didn't go the way we wanted it to go, but that's in the rear view mirror. Anything else stand out to you about last season?
You know, close. I know we're not going to count that, you know, but I do feel like Auburn had a couple of games they probably should have won, and we'd probably be singing a different tune right now, but because they didn't, everybody's on the fire. Hugh Freeze, that seems like a hot one right now. And I'm here to tell you right now, brother, Hugh Freeze is about to freeze that hot seat talk, pun intended.
Well, speaking of Freeze here, let's look at his overall record. Again, he did pretty well at Liberty there, and 24-32 overall in the SEC, 11-14 at Auburn. That's obviously not the standard, but we're going to raise it this year, Shane. We're raising the bar, and we got some raising to do because here's Hugh Freeze against the SEC. Maybe this isn't fair, Shane. Some coaches, I'm counting like other coaching jobs, but
yeah,
I'm counting Hugh Freeze at Ole Miss because I still think, I don't know why, I identify him most as the Ole Miss coach. Maybe he can change that here at Auburn, but here's his overall record against every team that is currently an SEC institution here. 4-2 against Mississippi State, 4-3 against A&M, 4-3 against Vanderbilt, 3-4 against Arkansas, 2-3 against his Auburn Tigers, 2-4 against LSU Tigers, 2-5 against Bama, 1-0. I thought, I bet that doesn't feel good, Shane. 1-0 against Tennessee and Kentucky. 1-1 against Texas, 1-3 against Georgia, and 0-1 against Florida, Ole Miss, and Oklahoma. But how about Mizzou, Shane, coming in there? Oh, he's 0-2 against the most underrated team in the conference.
Yeah, I was looking at that Auburn. It probably should be like 2-6 for self-inflicted wounds, you know? he did start. I mean, he did build Ole Miss. Let's don't act like they didn't have any success up there. And, you know, Auburn, obviously, first couple of seasons hasn't been quite exactly what they wanted there in Auburn. But, you know, this is year three. This is kind of that – you always put that asterisk right here. Year three is when you got to make things work, and I feel like they can do that this season, Mike.
Yeah. All right. So let's get into it, shall we? All right, real quick, before we get into the returning production, we highlight this for all the teams because I do think it's important. bringing back both coordinators this year at Auburn. Year two for Derek Nix, offensive coordinator, although we know Hugh Freeze is really the offensive coordinator. Year two for DJ Durkin, who I thought the defense was very solid last year on the Plains. But a couple things I wanted to highlight with Auburn's offense, Shane. Number 9 in the country last year, not SEC, in the country, yards per play. That's a key statistic. So a lot of big plays. They were very effective at moving the football. But what killed them, of course, turnovers. -9 in the turnover margin. That was 120th in the country. So again, if we just get that to like 60th, we're a bowl team. You know what I mean? So that ain't asking much. And then the other area where they really killed themselves, red zone touchdown percentage, 122nd.
Yeah.
In the country. So turning the ball over, not scoring touchdowns in the red zone. I know if everybody does that, they'll have success. But those will be the keys, I think, for Auburn turning this ship around in year three under Hugh Freeze. Scoring in the red zone, stop turning the ball over.
Mike, if you're sitting there at 112, it's not hard to improve, you know? So we should have some improvement there. And obviously, I'm more excited about the coordinators, because there's always been a lot of change. There's been change the last two seasons. So I feel like a little continuity coming into 2025 can't hurt either.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's get into it, Shane. Returning production for them Auburn Tigers. Offensive side of the football, Shane. 34.4% of the total offense from last year is back. That's 12th in the SEC. Once again, Cousin Shane makes the graphic because he's got as many passing yards last year for Auburn as all their returning quarterback, zero, which was obviously dead last with Missouri there. Rushing percentage back, 22.9%. That's 14th in the SEC. Their top two rushers are gone. Receiving yards, 41.9% back. That's 7th in the SEC. But interestingly, Shane, 7th best in the SEC, but 4 of their top 6 receivers from last year are gone. That tells me that the guys they got coming back are primed for breakouts. Offensive line snaps back 74.1%. That is number 3. So that there's another key metric, Shane. Top 4 offensive linemen are all back from last season. So there's hope right there, Shane, that the offensive line will be better. The receivers could be elite. And that's the foundation for what this offense could be.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. Elite receivers, offensive line. I mean, if you really think about it, the quarterbacks got the blame, and we didn't use our running back near as much last year. So if you were going to trail in two departments, I think that's okay for that to be those two. I'm really excited about the other half, the offensive line receiving. This could be one of the most explosive wide receiver rooms in the country, man.
Yeah, no doubt. And we'll get to the portal in just a second. They've added via the portal. Mm-hmm. So here's the defense returning, Shane, 53%. That's number 8 in the SEC. Tackles back just over 40%. That's 14th in the SEC. Their top 4 tacklers from last year are gone. Tackles for loss, 43.1%. That's 10th in the SEC. 3 of the top 4 are gone. Interceptions, 50%. That's 10th in the SEC. Passes defended, a little over 68% are back. That's 5th in the SEC. And then these are kind of the key metrics for me. Defensive back snaps, 64%. That's 8th in the SEC. And defensive line snaps, 52%, which is 7th in the SEC. So kind of middle of the road there. But again, this was a much improved defense. They got a lot of really, really young talent that, you know, there's some potential for some breakout, including Kendrell Faulk. He's already kind of broken out, but he's one of the best defensive linemen in the conference.
Yeah, there are a couple of names that started to pop off at the end of the year on both sides of football, really. But this kind of reminds me of kind of like the Florida Gators, you know. I know it's not the Florida Gator preview, but, you know, just those guys that just kept developing, kept getting better. There was a lot of that, mainly on the defensive side here. So, yes, I'm again, we're not having a parade because of Auburn's defense and how great they are, but I do think that they will be improved going into this year.
Right, and a big help, Shane, will be the transfer portal. So, hey, we got some continuity here, Shane, on 3 and 24/7 Sports. nearly identical records on three. Mm-hmm. Says this is the sixth best portal class. 24/7 says this is the eighth. So today, we believe it. On three is the superior transfer portal grading service. 20 guys transferred in, 26 transferred out. Those guys couldn't play a lick of football to begin with.
Making room.
Exactly. And one guy that we're very excited about, Eric Singleton over at Georgia Tech, was an elite receiver, over 100 catches, over 1,400 yards, 9 touchdowns for Georgia Tech. And then, you know, very simple, but maybe overly simplistic. Season could come down to Jackson Arnold, the Oklahoma quarterback. They just announced that I believe he's going to be, once again, Shane, the representative at SEC Media Days. He was there for Oklahoma last year. He's there for Auburn. What does that tell you, Shane? Two different locker rooms. He's a leader. So I know it didn't work out at Oklahoma, but I think that's an excellent sign for Auburn heading into the season. Xavier Chaplin, named a no-shame Virginia Tech. He's a two-year starter at left tackle for Virginia Tech. We got him. Rayon Strider from Miami, Ohio. He led the country, Shane.
Ooh, baby.
In passes defended last year. So just throw him into the mix at defensive back. Darrell Robinson, UConn running back. I mean, we just got one gem after another. And hell, we added another quarterback, Ashton Daniels, just so we can have three quality quarterbacks on this roster.
Yeah, that's it. Loaded up. Got depth. That's one of the things that kind of hurt Auburn there at the end of the year, mainly on that defensive and offensive front. So I love the portal ads. Obviously, this is one of those big name ads. When you're reading some of these teams and you're looking at transfer, half of them you don't even recognize the names, but not with Auburn, man. They went out there and they got the best of the best. And say what you want, I think Jackson Arnold getting a second start, you know, a new fresh start. You know what I'm saying? He moved to a different school. You always see this, you know, even when you're in high school, like you got that new kid that shows up junior year and you're like, man, this kid's cool. You know, then you find out the other school, he was like a loser and picked on all the time. So that's kind of what this feels like, is that Jackson's got a new chapter here. And I'm excited about the weapons he's got around him for sure.
Hey, now I wanted to add this. I didn't know where to add it, but I think transfer portal is a perfect spot to add this. I do not know this for a fact, but I don't know these guys to be just slanging out crazy rumors either. But I heard recently on Cole Kublik and Greg McElroy, their morning show out of Alabama, that apparently Auburn, believe it or not, Shane. Well, let me ask you first, and then I'll tell you. Okay. If you had to guess, just a wild guess, I know you probably have no idea, where do you think Auburn ranks right now, 2025? Don't look at their recruiting. I'm talking about the men on their roster in terms of, you know, like we all assume Texas and their $80 million, whatever they're spending. Yeah. No one's spending more than Texas, right? Probably. Maybe Texas Tech. But if you had to just guess where Auburn ranks in the country when it comes to money being spent on the current roster for 2025, where would you guess Auburn is?
I'd say it'd be up there, man, because they got some dudes. I would say probably around 8 or 9.
Oh, wow. You even went higher than I thought you'd go. I was hoping you'd say top 20, but McElroy and Kublik here, they said top 5. Top 5 in the country. So again, that tells you that you know, they outbid and landed some elite transfers, because this is where a lot of the money is, and keeping the guys that were already on the roster last year. So it's all that. Maybe that's why they don't have money for recruiting. I don't know, but hell, they just also landed an elite recruiting class, Shayna. Number 5 class in the SEC, number 8 overall, which had a 5-star quarterback, Deuce Knight, and a ton of defensive players that look to factor in on the depth chart day one. But how surprised are you if that's accurate? And again, I don't know Cole Kublik and Greg McElroy to just be, you know, saying crazy rumors or anything.
Well, one
top,
of them.
Top 5 in the country, if that's true. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I would say if the alumni like Cole and, you know, Charles Barkley would donate a little more, maybe they could be even higher on this list. But no, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, here we are. We're at a point where we're coming to a head. or maybe a fork in the road, if you will. And when you look at that type of year, there's got to be some chips pushed to the table. And I think that's why we were so successful in this portal. And this is why I was kind of high on them, just because they didn't go out and get some dudes. They got a lot of dudes down there. And not feeling like this is the last run that Hugh Freeze will have, but I do feel like his back's against the wall a little bit here, a little pressure down there on the Plains.
Yeah, Army says it's a coaching problem. Spend the big money on Lane. He's a pain in the ass, but he's a great coach.
Boy, he is trolling the shit out of Auburn right now, too.
His words are not mine. All right, so let's get into it, Shane. Offensive projected depth chart for them Auburn Tigers, Shane. Bold means a returning starter. Orange means a transfer. So what do you notice here? A lot of bold, but also a lot of transfers, particularly at critical positions, quarterback and both offensive tackles projected in the starting lineup. So where are we going for the best group? I think it's kind of obvious. I'm going tight ends and receivers with Cam Coleman back, one of the best receivers in the entire country. Malcolm Simmons was solid as a freshman. Perry Thompson, another standout freshman last year. Brandon Frazier at tight ends back. And then you add in the transfers, Eric Singleton at receiver, Horatio Fields from Wake Forest, and Preston Howard from Maryland, a transfer at tight end. Receivers, tight ends are very, very good for Auburn.
Yeah, loaded. I mean, like I said earlier, I feel like this could be one of the best cores in the country. And, you know, just as long as we get them the football, you know. So I feel like we started to see a little bit of that ceiling last year, especially when Cam was taking off.
Now, second position group, I kind of already hinted at this, Shane. I'm going to go offensive line with a number of starters back. Connor Lew at center, he's really good. Dylan Wade, he started at left tackle last year. We're shifting him inside to left guard. We're bringing back our right guard, Jeremiah Wright. So we got the entire interiors back. And then we Xavion Miller started last year at right tackle. Even he's back. So we got backups with starting experience. And then we bring in the transfers, Xavier Chaplin, Mason Murphy. And we potentially got one really solid offensive line, which is quite honestly not something that we could have said at any point in the Hugh Freeze era. And all of a sudden, Shane, you're seeing the pieces to what could be a very dynamic offense here.
Or the Jackson Arnold era. You know what I'm saying? This may be one of the reasons he came down there, was looking at this offensive line and what they're bringing back. So, yeah, absolutely. This is, again, why we're poised for a good season here on the offense side.
Right. And you mentioned Jackson Arnold. That's right where I'm going next. Quarterbacks, I think, are solid with Jackson Arnold. Ashton Daniels, the transfer from Stanford, has got some experience. And then the five-star true freshman, Deuce Knight. Who knows, Shane? This could be the best 1-2-3 quarterback combo in the entire SEC. I'm not saying it is, but I'm saying it could be, because, heck, the way it works now, if you're not starting, you're leaving. So
yeah,
very few programs go three deep at quarterback, and Auburn may very well do that this fall.
How many picks before we start hearing the Deuce chant?
Here I am trying to be positive. You're roping me down a bit here. All right, so last I'm going running backs. I think Damari Austin, I think he'll have a breakout year. Don't forget Jeremiah Cobb. He was an elite recruit. I believe he's just a sophomore, so this could be his breakout year. And then Darrell Robinson, the guy we got from the transfer from UConn. So we got some nice backs. Hugh Freeze has never really needed, in my opinion, like an elite workhorse running back. Hell, he had one last year and he didn't use him. So, I mean, again, I'm putting running backs last, but I'm not saying they're bad or anything like that. And I think they'll be productive in this offense.
Are you saying it more because of usage? As part of the reason, if you got a back that you're probably not going to use as much, is that kind of, when you're looking at these rankings, factor in?
No, honestly, I think it's just the other position groups are so strong, receiver, offensive line, and quarterback. So again, if you're asking me, you know, what position group would I not mind is again, weak is not the right word, but not the primary strength, I would take running back in today's modern football. I think it's a fair assumption.
God, I just love hearing all this positivity coming from an Auburn review. Come on, son.
I think it was too much. That's why Stephen Up, Big Bama fan, he had to donate here.
Showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Stephen Up. Roll Tide.
Appreciate you, Stephen Up. He just gifted Shane. Oh, man, this probably broke his heart, too. Well, not really, because Bama owns Georgia. But shout out, Dog in D.C. You have been gifted a membership by Stephen Up. Welcome to the family. Courtesy of Stephen Up. We appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you, Stephen.
And then, hey, runner, candidate Shane for best name out there. Just buttered sausage.
You know, some butter sausage. Oh, welcome to the family.
Butter.
Yeah, welcome to the family.
Welcome to the family.
And what a name. We appreciate you, buddy. Thank you so much for helping us stay independent here. We really do. Without you guys, there is no show.
Absolutely. Thank you. Buttered sausage.
All right. Defensive depth chart, Shane. Now here's where potentially we shine because, again, a lot of transfers, but a lot of them project to be backups. I don't know. They use a lot of bodies at Auburn, so yeah. This was difficult. We got some starters back at key positions, including Kendrick Faulk and a lot of these guys in the defensive backfield. So because we got so many guys back at defensive backfield, I'm going to say that's the best position group on the defense with Kalen Lee, Jay Crawford, Caleb Harris, all starters back, and then a lot of talent, Sylvester Smith, Champ Anthony, Paul Thompson, Jarquez Robinson all back, and then all the transfers coming in here. I think this is potentially the strength of our defense here. Really, really solid defensive backs for the Auburn Tigers. I like seeing that.
I do too. A little continuity again at that side of the football. I think, you know, because again, the problem I felt like was more the offensive side. So the defense made strides last year. I would like to see that continue into 2025. Again, not the top five unit, maybe, you know, at some areas, but this is a serviceable defense that can keep you in all the games.
And then next I'll go defensive line. Thanks in large part to Kendrick Faulk. He's awesome. Quintrell Jameson Travis is back. Zai Walker, Kyron Crawford, Malik Blockton, Amarius Williams, Jamonta Waller. There's a lot of talent, not a lot of experience necessarily, but a lot of talent here with Auburn's defensive front. And then we attack the transfer portal for depth there as well. So again, I'm really liking the makeup of this defensive front. And then last but not least, linebackers. And that's really just because they don't use a ton of linebackers here, but we got DeMarcus Riddick. Robert Woodyard was an elite recruit that picked Auburn over Bama. Caleb Wheatland, a transfer, Xavier Atkins. So again, I'm not seeing a ton of weaknesses here. We got a mix of talent, a mix of experience, a mix of transfer. And once again, I think Auburn, I'm trying to put my confidence level at which side will be better. Mm-hmm. And last year, I mean, it was like 95-1 defense. I still think it'll be the defense, but yeah. I could be wrong. I mean, it's more 65-45, if that makes sense. And I think if you're being honest, I think that's right where you want it. I don't think you want one side being dominant and the other not being as good, even if the good side is elite.
My math ain't math in there. So 65-35, is that what you said?
That's what I meant to say, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I do think,
what I was really trying to say was 55-45. I think that's where I was going. You know, okay. So we're close to 50-50 here.
But don't you think that's great? I really don't get me wrong. I really enjoyed some elite defensive play last year for a lot of these SEC programs, but you pair it with a terrible offense at times. It's absolutely a tough watch. So I felt like Auburn kind of got that way a little bit last year. And so a little balance would be perfect, in my opinion.
Yeah. And Stephen Up, I can't find where his comment was. Shane. Oh, here it was. Stephen Up said, I just wanted to hear Rotad. So that's and then we got the legend. I think he could only bear so much of the Auburn, so he's a little late, but JR's back, Shane, as he always is. And
let me
play his theme music here.
Legend, cousin JR has done it again.
Yeah, thank you, JR. We appreciate you, buddy. Cause he has gifted Ozark Hillbilly. Welcome to the family. courtesy of the legend, JR.
Memberships in this podcast are brought to you in part by Cousin JR.
I just made JR a parking spot out front if he ever swings by the house.
All right. So, and real quick, kicker, punter. Common theme here, Shane. You don't got a kicker. You don't got a punter.
Yep.
You go to the portal, right? So they had a Southern Miss kicker, Connor Gibbs. He's 10 of 13 career kicking field goals. Pretty solid. But here's where I'm concerned, Shane. 7 of 10 on PATs. He's missed three out of 10 PATs. Don't have this guy kicking PATs. That would be my advice.
Yeah.
And then they added a punter from Oklahoma State, Shane, averaged over 41 yards per punt. So special teams, solid.
Yeah. It's very windy in Southern Miss, you know? That's not his fault.
All right, so biggest fall camp questions, and this is maybe not even a question, Shane, but, again, you've already hinted at it. I've seen all the fans hint at it. Where are we at with this quarterback controversy, if you will? And again, it may not be a controversy at all. We're paying Jackson Arnold top dollar. He's representing us at SEC Media Days. I'm not suggesting he's not going to start. I think that'd be foolish at this point.
Yeah.
But can he handle adversity? What if he struggles? You know, how's he work fit in with these receivers? Especially if Deuce Knight's coming on and looks like, you know, the future of the program. I mean, at some point you got to put him on the field. So how does, you know, this is the first time. Remember Jackson Arnold, they could say what they want in Oklahoma. They more or less pushed Dylan Gabriel out.
Mm-hmm.
And he just went undefeated at Oregon, was a Heisman finalist, and they pushed him out because they said, well, Jackson Arnold's the next guy, right? So Jackson Arnold's never been in this position where there's a young guy breathing down his neck. How does he respond to that? Does it bother him at all? I'm not saying it will, but I think that is a question that looms over this football team.
It does. It absolutely does. But, you know, I don't think anybody's going to be talking about it outside of Auburn. You know, I believe Jackson is going to be still in the spotlight there, and rightfully so. I feel like one more year. I need to see one more year. There's no excuses for Hugh Freeze. There's no excuses for Jackson Arnold now. You've got an offensive line. You got playmakers around you. Now's the time. And you had a year to prepare for this offense. I feel like a year under his belt is also good.
And then – I don't know if this will be a talk. I assume it will be. How many questions do you think Hugh Freeze gets about golfing next week at Media Days?
Too many.
This is like a story that won't go away. You know what?
I'm kind of glad because I thought Arch Manning was going to get all the talk, which he'll get plenty up there, you know, but I feel like Hugh Freeze golfing is going to be like the running joke. We'll hear it about 50. Hell, I even threw one at the start of the show. You know?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's and what about, you know, how will this team handle adversity with so many? We'll get to the schedule in just a moment here, but some tricky games right out the gate at Baylor, at Oklahoma is your first conference game. A&M is on the road. That's the next one. I mean, it's just. Ooh, buddy. I mean, they have to start quick, I think. Otherwise, it could be a nightmare type season.
Nightmare week one. A lot of pressure, and we'll get to the schedule here in a minute, but I just feel like this is another one of the teams. Coach Kelly and Coach Freeze, I think, have the most pressure going into week one to win week one, and Baylor's a team that can beat you. But what's unique about that one is it'll be on a Friday night, and everyone will be watching it.
Right. So the over-under for this season, Shane, 7.5 for them Auburn Tigers. But these odds are pretty good, actually, Shane, to win the conference 20-1, national championship 55-1. That's actually a lot higher than some of the teams we've been doing here lately. So, again, 7.5 over-under for Auburn. You got some tricky road games, but you got a lot of favorable home games. So you ready to break down the win-loss toss for them Auburn Tigers?
1 second, Cousin Tanner hit. If Cousin Shane and Freeze played golf, Shane would win 9 out of 10 times. I'm absolutely ready to. And again, part of the reason why I'm feeling more confident about my Auburn love is Vegas feels confident about Auburn love. So, yes, let's roll through it, brother.
Okay, win-loss or toss here for them Auburn Tigers. Here's how I see it playing out. You let me know, buddy, if I'm getting wildly out of tune again here. But so these are the wins, should be wins, for them Auburn Tigers. I got Ball State at home. I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. South Alabama at home, week two. Come on. At Arkansas, October 25th. Kentucky at home, November 1st, and Mercer at home, November 22nd. So I got five games on my list here, Shane, that should be wins. Do you disagree with any of the should be wins?
Yeah. I think Vanderbilt should be a win.
Oh, no, I'm just asking about the wins now, not the tosses.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm thinking that it should be a win. But no, yes, the ones that you've got listed wins, I'm good with.
Okay. And then, so I got damn near, half the schedule is a toss-up in my mind, Shane. At Baylor, yep. At Oklahoma, at Texas A&M, Mizzou at home, at Vanderbilt, and Bama at home. I'm giving them the toss there. Just normally I'd give out a loss, but, you know, this is a rivalry. Is arguably the best rivalry in all of sports, so... given the edge here, and you've already disagreed with Vanderbilt, how dare you?
Yep.
Yeah. Don't you know Hugh Freeze has literally never beaten Diego Pavia, and they beat him by double digits at home last year. Don't forget that.
Yeah, they did. And third time's the charm, baby. I think...
this will be... He's 0 for 3 already.
Oh, yeah, four times the charm, they say, down there on the plains.
All right, any of the others tosses?
Yeah, believe it or not, I've got two, Baylor and Vandy. I think those should be wins. If you're asking Auburn fan, they're not worried about either one of those. It should be probably the first one, but I think that should be a win as well.
So just Baylor and Vandy, you said?
Yeah, just Baylor and Vandy.
Okay. And then loss, Georgia.
Uh-huh.
Even though it's a home game, I got that as a highly probable loss for Auburn.
Highly probable, and I would probably link Bama as a loss. Probable. I know it's the Iron Bowl. Crazy things happen, but...
Yeah,
that's where I'm at. Georgia and Bama is a loss.
Okay. No, that makes sense. All right, so now we do the week-by-week prediction, Shane. Best case scenario, optimistic, little... twinge of homerism, if you will. I can't claim to be an Auburn homer, but I'm gonna do my best, Shane. So week one again, you just blew this game off. I've kind of been with you for a lot of the season, but I've been doing my research on Baylor, Shane.
How fun was that?
I think Baylor's a dangerous team here.
Yeah,
and Mr. Cole Kublik was the one that kind of like led me down this rabbit hole. They went 8-5 last year, not great, right? But they won their last six regular season games, Shane.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of caught fire there. They bring back their quarterback, Sawyer Robertson.
Mm-hmm.
Eight offensive starters and their offensive coordinator. Auburn tried to steal Sawyer Robertson from Baylor. Tennessee tried to steal Sawyer Robertson from Baylor. The fact that we got these SEC teams going in on Sawyer Robertson, I think... And Stephen's got him as the number 29 team in the Athlon Sports College Football Preview magazine. Auburn's only favored by 2.5 points on the road. I think this is... Buddy, this is a toss for a reason. But I'm tossing it a win, Shane. Again, I'm not sold that Auburn wins this game, but I think if you lose it... they won't fire Hugh Freeze that next day because it'll be Saturday, week one college football, but they might as well. I mean, it's not going to work out, I don't think, if we're losing to Baylor year three.
It's when boosters start getting together, you know. You catch them at the Calhoun's barbecue with the next coach. Yeah, I do feel like there is a lot riding on that football game, which could be bad, man. When you make Baylor a good game, it becomes a good game, and that's what I'm worried about, because if you look at what Hugh Freeze did last year, especially with this Auburn team, there was a lot of one-possession scores that didn't go their way. So I don't like that it's close, but at the end of the day, it won't be, because Baylor, I don't care how nice and pretty you make them sound coming into this thing, you should beat them, and you should beat them by multiple scores. So give me Auburn with a big win here and a start to the new – chapter of Hugh Freeze's career.
Okay. And now week two, Ball State. Went 3-9. That's about all I'm going to bore you with that. That's an easy win, right? 40-50 point win.
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
I might as well just say the same thing for South Alabama, except they did 7-6 last year, Shane, and they lost their quarterback in the spring portal window to North Carolina. So another easy win, right?
Another easy win. 3-0.
Now, I know we're homers, right? We're trying to be optimistic. Yeah. But I should, before we move, you know, before we just blow past should be win, this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
We should note that, you know, Hugh Freeze and Auburn, they gotta take all these games seriously, even the should be wins here, because sometimes they don't, and it bites them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you could say that about a lot of teams. I felt like Vandy had a case of that with Georgia State last year, and you know, some of these teams that just creep in, it shouldn't be competitive. This is a game where you should get right. These second and third game, I feel like it comes at a perfect opportunity. Work on the mistakes you made week one. Hopefully it didn't cost you the game. And 2-3, tune up. But let's get some of these guys out. Let's get some of that youth in. Because when you get into that SEC play, we're going to need some of that depth. And you don't want to waste those valuable reps fighting with one of these teams in the fourth quarter.
Right, because you're going to be fighting week four, Shane, when you go on the road to Oklahoma. This could be a crossroads game for both programs here. The Jackson Arnold revenge game, perhaps? I don't know. Again, I'm pretty high on Oklahoma, right? They have a hell of a winning percentage at home. But, again, Auburn's played in some pretty intimidating places, so I think they'll be prepared for it. But I say all that to say, Shane, I'm giving this one to Oklahoma. Your thoughts?
I don't hate it because I could see it. And I think part of the reason that the good thing is, do you got Oklahoma schedule leading up to this one? Let me pull that up real quick here. There it is. Oh, sorry. Same time. Damn it. All right. I'm laying off the button. The only thing is that Michigan game for me. I feel like, I know it sounds crazy, but I feel like if Oklahoma beats Michigan, Auburn will play this game better. Now, if they lose, I feel like this is classic Hugh Freeze overlooking 9 out of 10 comments. You know, Oklahoma has got a really, really good football team. We're talking about it. They're building that momentum. And September 20th, I think this one could be an absolute barn burner, man. It really could go either way. I hate that it's at Oklahoma, but how can I say Auburn is back and they lose in Norman? So give me a victory here for the Auburn Tigers. Starting out the season 4-0, they are hot, baby.
Do you know how many times Auburn's beaten Oklahoma?
Shit, have they ever played them? I don't know. Once?
They played them last year.
Well, yeah. I'm just trying to think. Just the 1 year?
They've never beaten them, Shane. Oklahoma's 3-0. So. All right. How about the next one? I mean, buddy, if you got them steamrolling today, nation here. At A&M. Mm-hmm. You beat A&M last year. It was a home game. You jumped on them. It was 21-0, something like that. But they jumped on them. A&M came crawling back. But you know that was the win last year of Auburn's season, beating A&M. That was a hell of a win. That's going to give enough motivation, I think, for A&M to get the win, though. At Kyle Field, back to back conference games. I think this is going to be too tough of a challenge for Auburn.
Yes. And, you know, when I'm looking at that Oklahoma, Texas A&M back-to-back, it's kind of that classic 0.5 thing. I could see them losing. I could see them losing both. I could see them winning both. But more likely, they're going to lose one, win one. And so you're kind of picking which one. I think they get a loss here with Texas A&M. First loss for me.
That's interesting. You really think they can win both those games on the road?
Could, absolutely, if the stars are aligned. If we think if Jackson plays up to the billing that he had coming into last season, if you know, the wide receiver room's already gelled. Absolutely. I do think, I don't think this year, Mike, there are a lot of football teams that are going to be applying for an SEC championship for college football playoffs. I could sit here and make an argument that 7, 8, possibly 9 teams, if the cards are played right, can make that dance. So Auburn's in that mix. I'm not saying they're one of the favorites, but if the stars align, it wouldn't blow my mind. But the beautiful thing about this season is I do think there's going to be a lot of teams that pull off upsets and get signature wins. And early in the season, I'm looking for a little bit of that continuity from that Auburn defense to keep them in it. And hopefully by this time, the offense is humming. So could I see it? Yes. Will I see it? Probably not. I think there's a loss that comes between this Texas A&M and Oklahoma game.
Hmm. All right, shout out Mr. Sippy. Give us $10, Shane. And he says, which two SEC teams have never met on a football? Man, he's stumping me here. It's trivia which hour here.
Two SEC teams have never met on a football field before.
We got to be Texas and Oklahoma's got to be one of them, right?
Got to be playing one of them. Yeah. Probably. Well, honestly,
if he's asking, maybe he can tell us.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm guessing State's one of them. Maybe Oklahoma, Mississippi State.
Hmm. Okay.
I don't remember that one being played out.
And then we also got two slick, Shane. Remember, for 10 months, screw Auburn. His word's not bad. We appreciate you, too, Slick.
Hell yeah. Thank you, guys.
All right. So we're going back to world's best team, Auburn, here. After A&M. Now we got, thankfully, we got 2 weeks to prepare. Because we're going to need it. After back-to-back SEC road games, we're coming home, though. That's the good news.
Yes.
Playing Georgia. Georgia, for all we know, could be the best team in the country. Georgia's won 8 in a row in this annual series, and they've won 17 of the last 20. Give me 18 of the last 21. I think this is too much to ask Auburn to win here.
Too much. Yeah, I think it is. I really do. There are games when Auburn and Georgia seem to be closer than I expected, but it seems too like every time we build Auburn up, Georgia humbles them. This is a pivotal matchup for them, Georgia Bulldogs, but also one Hugh Freeze would absolutely love to have. I think this is a close game, Mike, but I like Georgia just because of the talent. I'm going to go Bulldogs here. So again, second loss for me coming up this season.
Well, Shane, I'm glad you picked. I think you picked it. I don't know. You go back and forth. A&M to beat Auburn.
Because for you, Rick.
It's Texas A&M's biggest fan, Cousin Rick. Gig'em Aggies.
Thank you, Rick. Hell, love yeah. The Thank cousins. You, cousin. Beat the hell out of Auburn. We appreciate you, Cousin Rick. Of course, if an Auburn fan wants to give us $21, I'll say something different. But all right, next game, Shane. Pivotal game here.
Yeah.
Missouri comes to town.
Yeah.
Lost to Missouri. Should have beat them. Of course, that was the infamous Brady Cook had to go to the hospital and come back and save them. And he did. He's like Captain America out there, Shane. They ain't got Brady Cook this year. Give me Auburn. Get off the schneid. Get a home win. Maybe if this game was at Mizzou, I would think differently, but I'm pretty confident. I think Auburn can win this one at home. And in fact, I think it would be a disappointment if they didn't.
Yeah, I think with Auburn, with so much going on, I mean, there could be a 2-loss Auburn, a 3-loss Auburn. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? But I just feel like this game, you have to get. This is one of those you have to get before you start the road. And because of that, I feel like, you know, I think Jackson needs another shot at Mizzou here. Give me a win for them Auburn Tigers. Just as long as he don't fumble, you know?
Right. All right, next game, Shane. Arkansas, at Arkansas. Now, I had this listed as a win in the win-loss toss, but, you know, who knows? I mean, Arkansas beat you last year at your own place. So this by no means could be a gimme, especially if Talen Green gets hot. Everybody listening to this show knows what we think of that guy. But Auburn has won seven of the last nine. But Arkansas has won two of the last three. So I really do feel like this is a toss-up type game. But again, if we're losing this game, I don't even know what we're doing with Hugh Freeze. I think we got to move on from for losing these games. So give me Auburn, Shane. Go on the road. First conference road victory in my mind that Auburn gets this year.
This is when Auburn gets hot, man. This is they made it through the meat of their schedule. I feel like this is when the W's start coming. Big one right here, Mike. I think this is a double score kind of game here. Give me Auburn Tigers big.
Yeah. All right. Kentucky. I think Jarquez is still running on old Kentucky right now. You know what? So, yeah, get the hell out of here, Kentucky. That's for you, Nick Roush, for your garbage videos you put out there.
I was like, where did that come from? It's like one last shot before you go down, you know? We used to be good.
that's an easy win there, I think, for Auburn.
Yeah, absolutely. He's just getting me fired up for media days. But, yeah, that's a big one. That's a win.
All right, now. This could be a big one, Shane. At Vanderbilt, I know you've dismissed it already. Do you know what the all-time series is between Auburn and Vanderbilt? You have any idea?
No idea.
Tied.
At what?
22-22. So, I mean, this is a competitive series. Auburn lost last year 17-7, one of the ugliest conference games I've ever seen. Yeah. Diego Pavia, you know, he's got a vendetta out for Hugh Freeze, apparently. This is a tricky game. I know Auburn fans, at least if they're as competitive as we are kind of blueprinting here, I think they'll travel well to this game. So they may even have the home field advantage. But this is going to be a four-quarter slobber knocker type game, Shane. And you know how I like Diego Pavia. Upset City! Hugh Freeze finally beats Diego. Give me the win on the road.
Yeah, I think Vanderbilt got half those wins in the 1800s. So, I mean, we'll give them credit for it on Wincipedia, but this one obviously should be personal. I can't imagine it not being personal. And I'm surprised Pavia hasn't reached out, and I guess he doesn't need to because he's beat Hugh Freeze, you said, three times now. So,
yeah,
this one is one you have to get. And I think they do get. They go up to Nashville and get this one, continue that win streak.
Hopefully Hugh Freeze has learned about the two-minute timeout. He burned a timeout last year in that game. He didn't know that was a thing.
I hope he doesn't. I hope there's terrible time management.
Oh, Mercer, I'm not going to waste time on Mercer. They actually had a good record, but they're going to have a bad record come week 11 of the season. You know what?
Yeah. How big a boy are you? Not that big. See you, Mercer.
All right, so now we get to the Iron Bowl, Shay. This is, again, one of the best rivalries in all of sports. Bama's won five in a row in this series. Mm-hmm. They've also won 12 of the last 16. So they've kind of owned it. But that was the Nick Saban era. This is a new era, Shane. This is a different Bama. I know they're kicking ass in recruiting. I don't care about recruiting. I care about the field on Saturday. And whoever wins that game, Shane, they're going to have bragging rights in that state. They're going to have bragging rights on the recruiting trail. And I think, Shane, crazy things happen in this Iron Bowl, right?
Yeah.
War damn loss. I think Bama gets, because again, I think Bama's gonna win the SEC. So if you're beating them, I think you're one of the best teams in the country. I do think it'll be a competitive ball game. I think you can push Bama. Hell, I think maybe even you can beat them if they take another step back. But I think Bama's taking a step forward, if that makes sense. So I got Auburn optimistically 8-4 this year.
Kalen's sitting half the team because they got the SEC championship next week. So I do think this is going to be a great game. It always is a great game. And, you know, I've seen a lot of fired Auburn coaches up in this game, you know, that come away with a victory. So not saying Hugh Freeze is that, but even if they're having a bad season, this is one they always show up for. And I think it's tight, but I'm going to go with Alabama here. I told you earlier, I think that should be a loss, but I do think it's a close one.
Yeah, I didn't even realize Shane Stephen Up says book it. Double cousin curse on that Vanderbilt game.
Hugh Freeze, you're welcome. You're welcome. Just got an extension. Good golfing package. All right. One more golf joke.
All right. Most important game. This was difficult, Shane. This will be controversial, I think. I don't think this is where most fans will go. And I know you're not going there. Again, maybe I got brainwashed this, you know, doing research for this. Most important games for Auburn to have a successful season. Mm-hmm. Baylor, number one for me, at Baylor, week one.
Yeah.
At Oklahoma, week four, first conference game. And, oh, man, I screwed up. It says at Bama. It should be at home versus Bama. But, Alabama, more important than those games, yes. But because it's the last game, hell, if you're losing to Baylor and Oklahoma, then somehow, some way, some miracle, you turn around and beat Alabama, that'll be celebrated to an extent. But I think it'll be because you got an interim coach and he's playing a freshman quarterback and or something like that. If you're losing these games early, I think you're crashing and burning. So, and would just make it wholly unrealistic that you're beating Alabama.
Yeah, I get that. I probably would. I got to mix it up, man. I think Baylor should be up there. I'm not disagreeing with you there. I told you at the start of this show, how much pressure is going to be riding on that one, just because We've kind of moved on. You know what I'm saying? Let's put 24 behind us. That was a fluke. You know, we've got everything we need now. And if you trip up right out of the gates, it's going to be tough to get excited about an Oklahoma matchup or getting the fans to drive out to College Station. You really got to hit the ground running here. So I would say Baylor, number one. I would say Mizzou. That's another one, because there's a potential you've got one, maybe two losses coming in. I think Mizzou at home, that's one of the biggest ones for me, because it could start again that momentum. And then, of course, Bama, it's tough to argue that one.
Yeah. Okay. So
that's part of the job, you know, when you're an Auburn coach.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let me ask you this. So what did you say? Optimistically 9-3?
9-3, I believe. Can you pull that up one more time? Let me see it there. Let me get here. Yeah, see. Yeah, 1, 2, 3. Yep, 9-3, optimistically.
Crazy bastard. All right, so if that's your optimistic, so
yes.
Auburn makes the college football playoff, scale of 1 to 10, 1 being not surprised at all, 10 being absolutely floored. Where would you lean there?
Nine. I would be absolutely floored, because I don't know if a 9-3 team gets in. And I mean, you're looking at it's a daunting schedule. You've got some really good games, but maybe 8. I'll bring it back down. Let's say 8. That's Hugh's handicap, so it seems right.
Oh, shit. Okay. Hey, we got a Jeez Louise hit us up. Cousins, I requested a membership koozie yesterday to chill my beers on a beach in a couple weeks. Nice perk of being a member. Wink, wink. Who did you? I don't have any. I didn't get anything from you.
Yeah, send it over at thatsecpodcast@gmail.com. Jeez, and we'll get you there. I didn't get an invite to the beach, so maybe you won't get it. I don't know. Balls in your court.
Hey, we kind of flew through this one, Shade. Maybe it was the Auburn in the air. I just had to get this out of my system.
Get it over with.
anything else before we hop off here?
Media days right around the corner. I'm pumped up about that. They just dropped the players that are going to be there. I think Auburn will have two linemen and a quarterback, right? I think they got an offensive lineman, your boy there on defense, and then, of course, Jackson running around. Hopefully he'll get to the table. If you ask your Jackson Arnold's sitting there across from you, and I'm sure he's been asked every stupid question by the time they get to our booth. What's the one question, if you could ask him and he had truth serum in him, what's the one question you'd love to ask Jackson there at Media Days?
Would he rather have stayed at Oklahoma? Don't you think? I'm kind of curious how that all played out. You said truth serum.
Yeah.
He's in a better situation personnel-wise. with the offensive line, with the receivers. But I don't know if he's in a better situation coach-wise.
Yeah.
An offensive coordinator. I don't know. I mean, it's interesting.
It is. And what was the promises made down there, you know? Like, we'd go get – how much was he involved with some of this NIL money being spent, you know? So, yeah, there's – this Auburn's a unique football team, brother. And I believe it's a program that not a lot of people are talking about right now, but people are. They're starting to figure it out. I mean, when Vegas has got you winning – potentially 8 games. So we're at 7.5. How many teams have we talked about that aren't at a 7.5 mark right now? Auburn has the schedule to get there. They have the personnel to get there. Do they have the head coach? That's the ultimate X factor. And I'm very intrigued. This is a football team nobody's going to want to play this season because, again, any given Saturday, this is a football team that could beat you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think that's – that's proven that when you when you're losing to a Cal and a Arkansas, yet you're turning around and beating A&M.
Yeah,
I mean they could beat anybody.
Yeah,
they just gotta not lose to anybody.
Yeah,
which has happened far too often. But again, that was last year. This is this year. This is a new year, and maybe just maybe Shane, all the doubters, all that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that fuels them. Maybe that fuels Auburn Tigers. Maybe we'll see that damn Eagle swooping in here, coming into the college football playoff, and Shane will be at a 9, stunned on the ground. You know what? Let me ask you this. If they beat, because you said stunned, but you also said 9 wins.
Mm-hmm.
Win loss to us. Let me do this. If, let's say we flip, it doesn't really matter which one, Georgia or Bama. Let's say they win one of those.
Yeah.
Does Auburn make the playoff?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Because the only reason I'm afraid a 9-3 wouldn't is because I do think the 3 would come from top 10 teams, you know? And
right. And
I feel like you got to have a top 10. I would almost say 9-3. If you win one of those games, then you're in. Like, let's say Baylor. Let's just devil's advocate here. Oklahoma. And it'd have to be Oklahoma and Texas A&M. And then after that, you just
run the table.
Run the table. Then you're in there because that's momentum.
So now you got them beating Bama and Georgia.
I'm just saying that's the only way a 9-3 Auburn's getting in my opinion. Because you can't afford to lose late in the year because then you lose the votes getting in. So
somebody please wake up Shane.
It's been a long day. I've been out golfing all day. Dude, I had that great round 87 in the Eagle. And then after that, I've been chasing the dragon and I can't get there. I got 93 today, but damn, it was 93 degrees today. So it wore me out.
Ashley Shane for BMW. Shane running the table at Cracker.
Yes. Yes, I would. Absolutely. We're going to eat good down there. I can't wait to see everybody. I hope some of the cousins make it down. You know, they let it open to the public there at Media Days. Not all the way in it, but you can go down the front. It's definitely really cool to see the coaches and players come in, but the coaches and players do a lot right there at the entrance too. So you can get your pictures with them. I mean, that's how they got to come in. So hopefully we'll see some of the cuzzos down there.
Yeah, absolutely. Cannot wait, Shane. It's going to be a lot of fun. And buddy, yeah. It's what is it, our fourth Media Days as a podcast. Yeah. Hopefully our best one yet. You know what?
Or probably. I mean, the worst. I don't know. No, just kidding. I will say this. We will get you the most entertainment out of this damn event, you know, because a lot of this is coach speak. It's boring. But I tell you what, me and Mike, we're going to spice things up and make things fun. So I look forward to all the content. So that's why the notifications have... If you're on YouTube, hit those notification buttons so you're notified because Mike will be throwing out interviews like crazy after Media Days. We are going to meet every single day just like last year. So at the end of the day, we'll kind of do a recap of the big events that we heard that day. And we'll keep you abreast of all the information coming out of the Southeastern Conference. So I look forward to that. And if you've hit the thumbs up, that really helps. And we do appreciate the donations. That's more beer that we're going to be able to buy while we're down there. So thank you, cousins. I really do appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, I think that's a perfect place to cut it, Shane. Appreciate you. As always, appreciate each and every one of you. We'll be back tomorrow. Another team preview. We're almost done, Shane. We may be able to finally do it. We've never done every team.
Yeah.
We're going to do it this year, buddy. So until then, we'll catch you on the next one.
All right. See you guys. Go Vols.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the Pirate, and the Pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.